أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Verse number 26 يَا دَاوُودُ إِنَّا جَعَلْنَاكَ خَلِيفَةً فِي الْأَرْضِ فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا تَتَّبِعَ الْحَوَى فَيُذِلَّكَ أَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ إن الذين يضلون عن سبيل الله لهم عذاب شديد بما نسوا يوم الحساب. O David, indeed we have made you a vicegerent on the earth, so judge between people with justice, and do not follow desire, or it will lead you astray from the way of Allah. Indeed, those who stray from the way of Allah, there is a severe punishment for them because of their forgetting the day of reckoning. Now, we discussed this verse to some extent last week, and the meaning of Khalifa, someone who manifests the attributes of the one who has appointed him as a vicegerent. And here Allah mentions that since you are my Khalifa, since you are to manifest my treatment and attributes, and you are to act on my behalf. Therefore, what you have to do is that فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ بِالْحَقِّ. You have to judge among the people with justice. And وَلَا تَتَّبِعِ الْحَوَى. Do not follow desires. And they are the same things actually. To judge according to haq means do not follow desires. And following desires means that if you follow your desires, you have not judged according to haq, which is sabilillah. Now, all these concepts are interrelated to each other. The haq is sabilillah itself, and not following hawa is following haq and following sabilillah. Now, there are a few things here to mention. First of all, la tattabi al-hawa here, of course, is something related to the context, which means la tattabi al-hawa fi qada'ik, do not follow your desires in your judgment. And as we have the previous verse, which contextualizes this whole issue, what Dawood was inclined to do was not desires of mean type as other human beings have. He had some sort of inclination towards the poor, and therefore he was not listening to the rich man. And this Allah says, this is Ittiba' al-Hawa, do not do that. And of course Dawood was reminded very quickly of his mistake by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, hawa, desire, of course, we cannot be empty of desires. And even if we are following haq, we have a desire for following haq. Usually, hawa used in the Quran means a desire which is against haq, which is away, from diverted from the path of truth. A desire which is urged by human instinct. However, these urges are not to the final benefit of human beings. We know that we have many instinct urges in our life, in our everyday behavior. Some of these urges would urge us to follow the haq, would urge us to follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to follow His path, and therefore we would benefit on the day of judgment. Some of these urges are, although it's instinct, according to our instinct. For example, we would like to eat delicious foods. This is a desire. To some extent, it is haq, because we have to fulfill our nutritional needs. That's fine. But if we exceed that, this desire is, of course, barring us from the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Barring us in the way that then if we eat too much, we cannot divert our attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this desire, which is the same desire as we have had already and we fulfill our needs with it, when we exceed that balance, it becomes hawa. So hawa is a desire which exceeds the balance, exceeds the needs. And when we say it exceeds the balance, it means the balance is when you fulfill your needs in a way that you can make yourself closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Usually we think that the prohibitions and commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is somehow to discipline us or to tell us, don't do this, don't do that, otherwise I punish you. No, of course Allah is not treating us in that way. He wants us to go to Him. Anything barring us from that, He prohibits us. Anything making us closer, anything making us to go faster, quicker, He orders and commands to that. The only thing that Allah wants from us is to take us to Himself. And that's why He starts a communication with us. Although we are very far away, distant from Him, He starts a communication from us. In a way that He regards us as someone who understands, someone who is on equal basis, someone who wants to go to Him, of course, with his own free will. And he's just taking away the hurdles by these commands and prohibitions. This is what he wants to do. And sometimes the way he communicates with his servants, so to speak, with human beings, is so beautiful. The sentences he uses are so beautiful that sometimes you see the imams have used exactly the same sentences that Allah used, for example, in Hebrew language, because it has been very beautiful. You see, in this, why did this come to my mind? In the verse in Surah Qasas, when Musa goes to Tur, there's this verse that we have: Ya Musa, Inni Ana Allah Rabbul Alameen. I am Allah Rabbul Alameen. Now, this should be read in a different way, perhaps, because of the exact word that Allah used in His communication with Musa alayhi salam. In dua of the night of Arafah, we have one sentence which has been point of controversy about the commentators. What does this sentence mean? And that is when Imam alayhi salam, this is from Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, he mentions that I swear by the words that you communicated with them to Musa alayhi salam on the tour, and this by the words you communicated to your servant Ya'qub, by the words you communicated to your servant Ishaq. And then there's one sentence, maybe you have come across this dua of Night of Arafah is a very beautiful dua, which is to be recited on Night of Jum'ah as well. It says wa ba'ahiya sharahiya, and of course this is a Hebrew word. And since it is read in this way, وَبَعَهِيَا شَرَحِيَا, it's not understood very well. Some of our ulama in the past, they have gone to some rabbis and have asked them, what's the meaning of this وَبَعَهِيَا شَرَحِيَا? And they have said, no, this is not بَعَهِيَا شَرَحِيَا. It is بَأَحْيَا أَشَرْ أَحْيَا. I am me. I am me. It means that there's no explanation for me. Inni ana, exactly the same thing that is used in Surah Qasas. Ya Musa, inni ana, I am me. There's no explanation, you cannot describe me. However, if you really want to describe me, then Allahu Rabbul Alameen. Just to bring it somehow lower to our understanding. You see how God wants to communicate with us. And of course, Musa communicates that with other people as well. How he wants to communicate with us, to take us to him, to make us someone who could live in his vicinity. And therefore whatever he commands and whatever he prohibits is for this purpose. And whatever diverts us in terms of the desires urged by our instinct, this is called hawa. And of course, in the Quran, Allah warns us very much about this hawa. There's a very famous hadith in Nahjul Balagha, which is also reported by in the Sunni books, Ibn Abi Shayba, one of the earliest compilers of hadith in the Sunni world, has brought this hadith in his Musannaf, and also it is reported in Al-Kafi from Amir al-Mu'min, from the Prophet, that Amir al-Mu'minin says that أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّ أَخْوَفَ مَا أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ إِثْنَانِ. O people, the two things that I most fear about you are these. Things that I most fear about you are two things. اتباعُ الْهَوَى, to follow هَوَى. وَطُولُ الْأَمَنِ, and having long desires and ambitions. Now, اتباعُ الْهَوَى, as I said, هَوَى is a desire which diverts you from the path of Allah, as is explained in this verse as well. Then Amir al-Mu'minin says, فَأَمَّا اتِّبَاعُ الْهَوَى فَيَصُدُّ عَنِ الْحَقِّ. Following desires would bar you from haq, which is Allah. Of course, haq, the truth, is Allah in this world. So what, when you follow your own desires, which is urged by your own instincts, you want more, you want to eat more, you want to have more, you want to have more pleasure all the time, this hawa is going to bar you from the truth, which is your final benefit, of course. It is somehow the short-term benefit, which bars you from your long-term benefits. And that's why you are prohibited from this. And since most people are inclined towards this, Amir al-Mu'minin said, one of the two things that I most fear for you is اتباع الهوى. And the other thing is having long ambitions. أما اتباع الهوى فيصد عن الحق وأما طول الأمل فينسى الآخرة. Having long ambitions would make you forget آخرة. Now, interestingly enough, this is an explanation of this verse, because in this verse all these concepts are somehow put together as one very important interrelated danger for human beings. Now in the Quran, this اتَّبَعُ الْهَوَى has been mentioned in many, many different verses. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. Whoever fears the position of his Lord, and by fearing that position prohibits his soul from following hawa, then فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَعْوَى. Of course, the abode of such a person would be in paradise. So again, hawa is something which is contradictory to fear the position of the Lord. Also, hawa is followed when a person's heart is negligent of his Lord. وَلَا تُتِعْ, as we have in Surah Kahf, وَلَا تُتِعْ مَنْ أَقْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ. Do not follow the one whose heart has become negligent of our remembrance, and therefore he follows his desires. There is a correlation between forgetting Allah, forgetting the Day of Judgment, and following desires. Of course, that desires which are barring us from our final benefit. And then, if we do this persistently, eventually our hawa will become our Lord, that commands us and prohibits us. Lordship, Allah, is someone for whom you do things. This is the meaning of worship. You follow. Following is worshipping. As we mentioned in this verse, أَلَمْ أَعْهَدْ إِلَيْكُمْ يَا بَنِي آدَمْ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ الشَّيْطَانِ. Did we not take pledge from you, Bani Adam, that you should not worship Shaitan? There were many explanations there, all coming to this meaning that ibadah to Shaitan, worship of Shaitan, is following the Shaitan. So if you follow your desires strongly, then you are worshipping your desires. And this is exactly what has happened, especially nowadays with this materialistic type of life that we have. Greed is the essence of progress in this world, isn't it? You have to have more. You have to exploit the earth more. The more you are greedy, the better, the more acclaimed and commended you are in the eyes of people. And this is exactly what we have as ittiba'ul hawa, having our hawa exactly as our desire, as our God, as our Lord. And this is what is mentioned in Surah Jathiyah. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. Have you seen the one who has taken his hawa as his Lord, as his God, إله. فَأَذَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ. And by doing that, despite lots of knowledge that he might have, he has been completely misguided from the path. And this sometimes becomes the caption of all our motives. And sometimes, now here Dawood is somehow reminded, do not follow desire, do not follow hawa. Because this might happen even for very knowledgeable people. As we have in the story of Bala'an Ba'ur, which is mentioned in Surah A'raf as well, that he, despite the great knowledge that he had, he chose to go for the short-lived benefits and followed his hawa. وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ الَّذِي آتَيْنَاهُ آيَاتِنَا. Recite for them the story of that person to whom we had given our signs, the knowledge about myself. But what he did, وَلَكِنَّهُ أَخْلَدَ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ. He turned, he was inclined towards this material life, وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَى, and followed his hawa, his desire. So here, of course, Allah warns Dawood alayhi salam that you are in a very dangerous position, a very, very important and at the same time very dangerous, crucial position, and you are my Khalifa and you are a judge among the people. So you should not follow your desire and your hawa. Ya Dawood, inna ja'alnaka khalifatan fil ard fahkum bayna an-nas bil haqq wala tattabi' al hawa, and do not follow hawa. Fayudhillaka an sabila. Why you shouldn't do that? Because it would stray you, lead you astray from the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because hawa leads you to falsehood, things which are not really to your benefit at the final stage. And sabila Allah is haqq, and haqq and ittiba'ul hawa are contradictory to each other, and therefore you shouldn't do this. And if God forbid you are diverted from this sabilillah, you know what will happen to you. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَضِلُّونَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ بِمَا نَسُوا يَوْمَ الْحِسَابِ. Those who stray from the way of Allah, there is a severe punishment for them because of their forgetting the day of reckoning. Now, what this means is that forgetting the day of reckoning would necessarily lead a person to follow his hawa, or vice versa. It's the same thing. If you follow your hawa, you forget the day of judgment. You forget that you are responsible before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or if you forget that you are responsible, if you forget the day of reckoning, then you follow your desires. And in both cases, you are going to have a severe punishment. Now, someone forgetting the day of reckoning, we have in other verses as well, forgetting the day of reckoning, well, by forgetting we mean that we are heedless about it. We don't care about it. This is forgetting it. The very forgetfulness about the day of reckoning, the very heedlessness, is punishable according to the Quran. And this would bring us to the conclusion that every human being has an inborn knowledge that they are going to be held responsible one day. They are accountable for what they do. We know this just by birth. We know that there is a reckoning, and forgetting this reckoning is punishable. Because forgetting this reckoning means that you have somehow preferred your own desires over what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted. You followed your desires, you forgot the day of reckoning. Following desires, as I said, means forgetting the day of reckoning, is equal to that. And look at these verses, for example. Again, in Surah Jathiyah we have وَقِيلَ الْيَوْمَ نَنْسَاكُمْ كَمَا نَسِيتُمْ لِقَاءَ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا. People are told on the day of judgment that today we forget you, as you forgot this encounter today. Well, you forgot this encounter means that you were careless about, you didn't care that you are going to come and stand before your Lord one day. And therefore we don't care about you today. This is the meaning of, because of course forgetfulness has no meaning with regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And wherever Allah uses this اليوم ننساكم or نسوا الله فنسيهم, they forgot Allah and therefore Allah forgets them. They say this forgetfulness of course is not forgetfulness in the sense that we understand. It means do not care about them. Allah would not care about them, doesn't look after them. And this has the same sense is could be used about human beings as well. They do not care about the day of judgment. They know by their instinct, by their inborn knowledge, that there is a reckoning one day. And this is where the fear comes in the heart of the mu'minun. And the very many verses that says وَبِالْآخِرَةُ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ, they have yaqeen, they believe, they have faith in the day of judgment. Where does this faith have come from? That there is going to be a reckoning. There should be something inside us. Allah should have put it there. That there is going to be a reckoning one day. You are going to be held responsible. And if you forget it, you forget it not because you didn't know it or not because your memory is weak, because you followed your own desire and therefore you forgot it. And also, according to Allama Tabarakabai, he mentions that there is another implication in this verse, and that is that any sin that a person commits, every single sin committed by a person is actually have some sort of forgetfulness about the day of judgment. If you do not forget, or heedlessness, if you are not heedless, if you are all the time remember that what you are doing, you are going to be held responsible for it, you are going to be asked about it, then of course you do not commit it. You commit it because either you forget or because you don't care. And therefore every sin is izlal an sabilillah, is going astray from the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course this is a very good implication that Allama Tabatabai has taken from this verse, that of course then the awliya, the prophets, the imams alayhim salam, they can't be forgetful about the day of judgment, certainly. And even, remember, we have one prophet who committed a sin before coming to this world. In whatever way we interpret that sin, I don't want to go into different interpretations, that was Tarka'ula or whatever. Mm-hmm. It is mentioned that it was disobedience. In the Quran, فَأَتَى آدَمُ رَبَّهُ, Adam disobeyed his Lord. And what, in whatever we explain it, it was a disobedience. Now, that disobedience was because of forgetfulness, as is mentioned in the Quran. وَلَقَدْ أَحِدْنَا إِلَىٰ آدَمَ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَنَسِيهَ, we made a pledge with Adam before, and he forgot. He forgot because he didn't care? No, probably he forgot because he didn't think that he was going to be held responsible for that action. But anyhow, he forgot that this is something that for which he is going to be taken accountable. And therefore, any sin committed means forgetting the day of judgment or not taking, not paying attention or taking heed of that, and therefore that is not something which the prophets might do. Now the question comes, if this is the case, prophets never go astray from the way of Allah, never follow their desire, which is sin, of course. Why Dawood is given this very strong command that since we have put you as our vicegerent on the earth, you have to judge with justice and you should not follow your desires. وَلَا تَتَّبِعِ الْهَوَىٰ فَيُضِلَّكَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Of course he knows this. And why this address is directed towards him, some people have said, some of the exegetes, of course Shia exegetes especially, who believe in the immaculateness of the prophets, they say that, well, this is directed towards Dawood alayhi salam, but he is not meant by it. The others are meant by it. He is given, the address is towards Dawood, but it is teaching others that they should not follow the hawa or desires, and so that they would sin. Now, of course, it is a lesson for all of us, for everyone, that when we judge among people, we have to judge according to justice. However, it doesn't go very well with the verse, because it says, because we are not khulafa'ullah, are we? Allah haven't made us his khulafa, his vicegerent. Here it explicitly says to Dawood, since you are a khalifa, since you are a vicegerent, doing things on my behalf, you shouldn't follow your hawa, you should follow my hawa rather than your hawa, my desire rather than your desire. So it's directed towards him. And although he was a khalifa and it's directed toward him, as I said, we take a lesson from it. However, we couldn't say that Dawood is not meant by this address. And this goes about many other verses in the Quran, that for example Allah prohibits the Prophet from doing something, while we know that he would never do it, or commands the Prophet to something, while we know that he certainly does it, and it's not conceivable that the Prophet might disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these things. And therefore the address could the explanation of these verses generally would be somehow difficult how to interpret them. However, again according to Allama Tabatabani, which is a very sound type of interpretation that he gives, he says that although the prophets are immaculate, but this doesn't mean that they are deprived of free will. Certainly they can follow their desires because they have free will. Although they never do it, although they never follow their desires, but if they want, they can. And therefore, since they have free will, they are mukallaf. And since they are mukallaf, these addresses should be directed towards them. Otherwise, how should they know that what is haq and what is batil? They should be told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what to do and what not to do. And certainly when they are told, they are not by us. That sometimes they violate it, sometimes they disobey. No. When they are told something, they certainly and thoroughly, completely follow that guideline given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَضِلُّونَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ بِمَا نَسُوا يَوْمَ الْحِسَابِ. Now, this عَذَابٌ شَدِيد, of course, the punishment is something which is a repercussion of all these forgetfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you realize that Allah is haq and everything else is batil, and you realize that you have followed batil, and then your heart has become completely inclined towards batil, even on the day of judgment it's very difficult to turn your heart from batil towards haq. And therefore you are always after batil. And if you are after batil, you have to be driven away from the vicinity of the Lord. And you have to be put into a sort of purifying process. And that purifying process is going to be very, very painful. Very painful. And that is the punishment of Jahannam that follows people who have diverted from haq towards batil. And the Quran mentions that when your heart are turned towards batil, Even in the day of judgment, you see the haq, but you say batil. يَوْمَ يَبْعَثُهُمُ اللَّهُ جَمِيعًا فَيَحْلِفُونَ لَهُ كَمَا يَحْلِفُونَ لَكُمْ وَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ. The day when Allah would gather all of you, and the wrongdoer, they swear lies to Allah, as they swear lies to you, and they think that this is going to benefit them. Look how the hearts are turned towards Baathil. And even on the day of judgment, they see the truth, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They still look for the idols, for those things that they have worshipped, for their hawa, to save them. And since they are very much, very strongly, emphatically after their idols to find them and to seek help from them, then Allah tells them, okay, go and call them. See if they can benefit you. And it is a very beautiful type of treatment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the day of judgment, the disbelievers are looking for the idols, and Allah tells them, okay, go and call them if they can benefit you. Let them benefit you. Let them help you. وَقِيلَ ادْعُوا شُرَكَاءَكُمْ. They are told, they are given permission to call their shuraka, as they do in this world. They are given permission to call their shuraka, the associates that they thought Allah has. And they say, okay, go and call them. وَقِيلَ ادْعُوا شُرَكَاءَكُمْ فَدَعَوْهُمْ. And they go and call them. فَلَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا لَهُمْ. And of course, no answer would come. And what a punishment is this? What a terrible situation is this, that you go and call those things that you have worshipped all throughout your life, and then you see that they are not responding to you. And in another verse it says that, أَيْنَ شُرَكَاءُكُمْ. Where are those idols? Where are those partners that you thought they are going to help you beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? قَالُوا ذَلُّوا عَنَّا. They say, we have lost them. It means they are looking for them, but they have lost them. قَالُوا ذَلُّوا عَنَّا وَشَهِدُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. And they bear witness against themselves, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا كَاذِبِينَ, that they were liars saying these things. So this severe punishment is not something which comes from Allah's vengeance. It is something which comes from the nature of the soul, which should go and rest peacefully beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but cannot do it. Now, cannot do it, not that Allah bars them. Exactly the same as this world. You see, Allah does not bar you to go and sit with Him. Anni jalisu man jalasani. I would like to sit with someone who likes to sit with me. And He is calling us every night. Last night He called us, tonight He calls us, tomorrow night He calls us. Come, speak with me, talk to me. I want to whisper to you, you whisper to me. We don't go. We don't like to go, isn't it? And this exactly reflects in the other world. You don't like to go. And this brings punishment. Now, alhamdulillah, we have faith. The minimum of faith is going to save. However, just imagine about those who completely deny. Deny Allah, deny the day of judgment, deny all these things. What type of punishment and agony they are going to live with on the day of judgment on that day. So, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَضِلُّونَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ بِمَا نَسُوا يَوْمَ الْحِسَابِ. Indeed, those who stray from the way of Allah, there is a severe punishment for them because of their forgetting the day of reckoning. Now, since the day of reckoning is mentioned, two arguments is put forward here to bring close to people's mind that certainly the day of reckoning is going to happen, is going to take place. We are going to meet one day, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are going to meet and we are going to be questioned. So two arguments are put forward in the two following verses 27 and 28, that inshallah we will discuss these next week. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alayhi wa sallam.
Okay, brothers and sisters, any questions or comments? Just thank you, the mic and tell us.
Sheikh, you mentioned that in the hereafter, these people will ask the rivals, they'll be given permission, and the rivals won't respond. Well, in this world also, they ask the rivals, and certainly the rivals don't respond, but they don't realize it. They still think the rivals do. Then what will happen then? Will they realize the rivals don't respond, or will they still think they're responding?
Yeah, exactly. There they realize that they don't respond. Yeah. There they realize that they have lost them, and therefore they have lost their own life because of what they used to do.
False idols, you mean the false prophet they believed, or shaitan, or what? False idols?
Oh, whatever was falsely worshipped, including prophets, including human beings, shaitan, idols, ideas, concepts of idols, whatever. However, of course, these are somehow different on the day of judgment. Some of them are, some of those concepts, some of those idols would go to hell with the people. Some would go to paradise because they never were, of course, agreeing with that. Like prophets, for example, who were worshipped by people. In fact, we have some verses in the Quran that refer to the idea that since Quran mentions the idols, those concepts, those partners of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether human beings who claim to be partners or whatever, are going to go to hell with the people who worship them, then the mushrikun, they put an argument against our prophet saying that, wow, you have somehow falsified yourself because people are worshipping Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ is going to go to hell as well, which consequently these verses will reveal that إِنَّ الَّذِينَ طَبَقَتْ لَهُمْ مِنَّ الْحُسْنَى أُولَٰئِكَ عَنْهَا مُبْعَدُونَ. No, of course, these people are people chosen by Allah, people falsely taught worship them, so they are very far away from.
And the second question is, when you say Allah will call them to go up, call the false prophet idols, you see, when you read about the Day of Judgment, people are shocked, frightened. So, I mean, it's hard to believe that, you know, the impression you get of the Day of Judgment is people are so frightened, they are completely lost.
The Day of Judgment is 50,000 years, so it has different stages. And at those different stages, people look for help, look for something to help them. And at some stages, they are told, okay, go and seek help from anyone you want. And they go again to ask help from those things that they used to worship in this world. Well, of course, help doesn't come from them.
Can you use the mic? Because it's all being recorded there.
What I mean is that on the Day of Judgment, people know they are wrong, isn't it? They still believe it. That's hard to believe it.
Yeah, this is what the Quran says. They know they are wrong, but still they do it. This is how the soul has been formed and shaped. It's molded in that way. So, that's why they go to hell. If it was not molded in that way, if there were just haphazard sins happened, Allah would remove them. But when it's molded in that way, it would be not possible to remove them. So they go to hell to be remolded, to be somehow reframe and come back.
When you said that after certain state people will be purified, is it only for the believers or for?
Well, they say most of the people come out of hell anyhow after very, very long time. But how this happens, we don't know.
Any sisters?
Sheikh, coming back to Prophet Dawud alayhi salam, we discussed that. Or the way I understand is that he did disobey, did not, by giving preference to the poor, or the ayah suggests.
No, that was not disobedience in the way that we understand. It was not a sin, certainly. It was just not using that very highest standard of judgment. And it was not a real case, anyhow. It was just like the sin of Adam in that paradise, you see. It was not a real case. There were angels coming and somehow giving him the vision of two quarreling parties, putting him a type of theoretical case by which Dawood was tested to see how he is going to judge. You see, if it was a real case, then Dawood might have been in danger. But it was not a real case. It was just a training type of session, a rehearsal of a court, something like that.
Thank you, sisters. Yes, definitely.
As your answer just given reflected, from the Shia scholar's point of view, the starting point is that the Prophet is not sinful. So you try and give the answer accordingly, but that's the starting point. What is the problem? When the Prophets did err, what is the problem?
The problem is that erring is forgetting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah would not choose people to forget Him. This is theoretically. Practically, if prophets err, and we should believe that whenever prophets err, Allah is not going to immediately point out that this was an error, because He is Sattarul Uyub. If He covers our sins, well, He should cover prophets' sins as well. And therefore, you could not follow the sunnah of any prophet, because you don't know what part of that sunnah is guidance from Allah and what part of that sunnah is mistaken error of the Prophet. Therefore, the sunnah of the Prophet would become completely useless, and you cannot follow them practically, which is of course something against the Quran, because Quran said وَلَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. You have to follow the Prophet, and Allah would never direct us to someone or something which is error. This is against the guiding attributes of Allah subhanahu wa
ta'ala. I meant, when I said I don't mean erring frequently. I meant if they erred occasionally and they were corrected, wouldn't that actually satisfy our belief in the sunnah?
So you mean that prophets might err, but that error should be immediately corrected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No, but our concept of human being is that human being is someone who sins, isn't it? Why shouldn't we think the other way, that human being is someone who doesn't sin, and all other people are somehow away from that standard of being a human being?
I think we should distinguish between sinning and making a mistake.
Oh, that's another issue. Okay, if we come to this stage of making mistakes, this is sahw then. This comes to sahw al-Nabi. Now, there are, of course, different discussions about this, whether prophets do make mistakes or not. For example, we have a hadith that prophet once made a mistake in the number of raka'at of his salah. This is, of course, in many Sunni sources, in some of Shia sources have come. Among Shia scholars, we have the famous Saduq, supporting Sahw al-Nabi and saying that yes, it was possible for the Prophet to make mistakes, not sins, to make mistakes in his decisions or in the daily life. But of course, all other ulama, the majority, the mainstream Shiite ulama, have rejected this on the same basis, that if Prophet makes mistakes, then he could not be an Uswa al-Hasana, and therefore we could not follow him. However, this is something which is controversial even among Shia scholars.
Sisters, we'll follow the land. Brothers, well, Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.